Chad, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for leading us so beautifully in worship today. I love all of those songs that remind us of the great truths of God's Word. And for sure, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him we owe. Amen? All right, well, let's feast on the Word of God together this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Oh, I might back it up a couple of verses just to hit the ground running. I want to speak to you today about two kingdoms. In fact, from God's perspective, there are really only two kingdoms, two types of children in the world today. We'll see in the scripture this morning that there are the children of God, the kingdom of God, and there are the children of the devil. And that is Satan and his temporary hold on things. And you are in either of the two categories. And you say, well, Pastor David, I thought there were over 260 different countries and nations in the world today, and many different dialects and languages, and even more people groups that are on the planet today. And while that may be the case, really, from heaven's perspective, there are only two types of children in the world today. That is the children of God and the children of the devil. And so the children of God have much to celebrate and to be encouraged about, and even ways that we can examine ourselves and test ourselves to, in fact, have assurance that we are the children of God, that we are in the faith. And for the children of God, we have a threefold benefit. Just in our passage today, we'll see that the Father loves us, that the Son, Jesus, died for us, and that the Holy Spirit lives in us. His seed lives in us. And so now, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the children of God, he writes by way of encouragement. Let's back it up to verse 28 in chapter 2. Where we see him writing in a very loving tone, much care, much compassion. And as he writes, we see here, he says, "And now, little children," little born ones, those who have been born again. He's not talking about the children in the sense that they've been born physically. Every one of us in this room today, obviously, just the fact that you're here, you were born once physically. The physical birth. You're alive physically. But he is talking about spiritually. You've been born again, little born ones. That's that spiritual regeneration. The moment that a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, not when they join a church, not when they get baptized, but when they understand, hey, I'm a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and sin separates me from a holy God. I can't get to God by being good enough. It's not by works, not by good behavior, not by religious actions and rituals. The Bible clearly says that doesn't save you. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He died for you, God the Son, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, He shed His divine blood. He was 100% God, 100% man, and He died for you. Shed His blood. And it's the blood of Christ, when you put your faith in Him, it cleanses you. And it continually cleanses the believer. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, we say it. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus is the only way unto the Father. He's the only way. There's no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you become that child of God. And so he's writing to the children of God who've been the little born ones, born again. He reminds us to continually abide now in him. That when Jesus appears a second time now, when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Here's one of these tests that he gives us in 1 John. for the child of God. If you know that he is righteous, and we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices that pattern continually, who practices righteousness, is born of him. Now, he doesn't say that the child of God will not sin. We're going to have to deal with that because we have some very confusing passages and verses coming up. But the idea here is that he's no longer living in a worldly sense. Now that he's been born again, there's a change that's taking place, and he can't continue to live that way, but now he's starting to live a different way. Doesn't continually live in sin, but now the pattern of life is changing. And oh my, because we are born of God, this is a reality that God has brought about in your life and in my life, if we are the children of God. And so the believer starting to read this, and we start getting excited, thinking about all the promises, all of the things that we have in Christ, and we know God, and he's saying, behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of God? What manner of out of the world, crazy love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us? The Father has lavished his love upon us, and listen, we didn't do anything to deserve it. And I want to tell you that tonight, all around the world, especially in America, people are going to be jumping up and down with great excitement in front of a TV set because their team scored a touchdown. And some of you are pulling for Seattle, some of you are pulling for the Patriots, and most of you don't care. Hey, do you remember who won the Super Bowl 6 years ago? That's what I thought. See, what we're looking at in the scripture this morning has so much more eternal significance, so much more importance, and yet the world is going to go crazy. They're going to spend millions and millions of dollars on advertisement. They're going to do all this stuff, and you're going to watch people do stuff like, you know, whatever they do, and they jump up and down, and they break things. I want to tell you that whatever excitement they can give to something they won't remember 6 years from now, when we read this and say, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? Whatever excitement you give to that game tonight, you better give 400 times as much to this passage right here. This is more exciting. This has eternal significance. This is much better news, I promise you. The Father loves us. Jesus died for us. The Holy Spirit's living in us. And we are the children of God. Some of your translation says, and we are the children of God. And because we're the children of God, though, that gives us certain benefits, but it also gives us certain lack of benefits on this planet. Because this world, as we looked at last time, doesn't really like the light. This world is in darkness. Satan rules this world. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world. In fact, Jesus said in John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world did not receive Jesus. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And so as you look like and as you live like and as you begin to love like Jesus did, as that becomes the pattern of your life, the world is going to say, uh-uh. No, we liked you the way you were before. And in fact, we see in 1 Peter chapter 4, let me just read a couple of verses for you. And maybe you remember how you were before Christ. And if you've been saved, all of a sudden you remember there was that change in your life. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2, he says that we should no longer live and spend the rest of our time. Since we've been saved, the rest of our days on this side of eternity, we should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lust of men, not living for self, but living for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles and the things of the world. When we walked in lewdness and lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries, earthly stupidity. You write down your sin. And you were all caught up in it before you met Christ, before he introduced himself and found you. In regard to these things now, the world, they think it's strange that you don't run with them the way you used to, in the same flood of dissipation, now beginning to speak evil of you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious, be watchful in your prayers. Oh, I remember how this applied to my life. I was saved some 20 years ago. And I was right out of college living in Animal House. And it was Animal House, and I was leading the charge in that. Other guys living in the house as well. And I remember how the Lord invaded and got into my life, and he crushed me. I praise God for that. I mean, he wrecked my life, and I praise God for that. And I was running with the world, and man, it just seemed normal because the world, the flow's going this way, and I'm going that way, so there's no friction. And all of a sudden, when God saved me in my mid-20s now, and God changed my life, and the Bible says if anybody is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things pass away. There's a new creation. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. It wasn't sinless perfection, but now it was a sinless direction. And before it was smooth going that way, now all of a sudden it's going this way, and I'm handing my friends Bibles. And I remember my brothers, they thought, man, you are great. What are you talking about? I'm telling them about Jesus, right? Do you have a change in your life? Your change may look different. My parents thought I'd joined a cult. I was there when they got baptized. And I was there when my brother got saved. And I love it. My brother's pastoring up in Connecticut telling people about Jesus, not to his glory, but to God's glory. God changes lives. God forgives sins. God brings hope. And by faith, you can become a child of God to come out of darkness and to come into his marvelous light and begin to walk in the light. God is a God who saves. Amen? And if you've been saved, there's some type of a change in your life is what he's going to start heading toward in our text. And so you see back in our text, what crazy love is this, that we should be called the children of God, and therefore the world does not know us. But verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God. Let me see your touchdown spike on that, right? Boom! We are the children of God. That is something to celebrate and to remember. Never be discouraged. You have no reason to be discouraged. Your name is written in the book of life. And we are the children of God. And while many things have been revealed about our future and about the new heavens and the new earth, still, much has not been revealed, and he says here, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, Jesus, when he had his glorified body, he walked through the wall. The disciples were locked in that upper room. Jesus walks in, they're like, And you know, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, this perishable must put on the imperishable. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. This mortal must put on immortality. To have that glorified body, no more dying, no more sickness, no more disease, no more sin and the ravages of sin in our lives. God's going to make all things new. Praise God. I'll finally be able to run that 4-minute mile. Just never could get there. And now, believe me, it's far away. I can't wait. All the things that God has, we don't know exactly what we shall be. But we do know this, that when he is revealed, when the Lord comes again, and he's coming again, how should we live now in view of his coming? The Lord's coming again, and when he is revealed, three things, we're going to be like him. You're not going to be God, but you're going to take on these attributes now. You shall be like him, and secondly, we shall see him as he is. I cannot wait to see my Savior. Some of our loved ones have gone on. And I tell you, if your loved one's gone on, they're doing a whole lot better than we're doing. And if they're in Christ, you know, listen, we'll see him again. We shall see him. And thirdly, everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself. He continues now to come out of darkness and begins walking this way. It's not sinless perfection, but hey, here I go. I'm now following the Lord, purifying myself. Do I still sin as a believer? Yes. But it's now becoming more and more like Christ. I'm beginning to live like Christ, to love like Christ. I'm beginning to look like Christ more and more each day as I follow my Savior. And everyone who has this hope of the Lord coming again and seeing him, he's making effort. There's this new pattern in his life to purify himself just as the Lord is pure, to become righteous just as the Lord is righteous. Now, I want to say this out of great love and out of great concern. There's a lot of people who would fill in that blank, everyone who has this hope, everyone who names the name of Christ, everyone who says, I'm a child of God, just acts indifferent. I see so many people today that say that they are Christians or I'm a child of God, and yet they're completely indifferent to the things of God. Listen, if there's no change, there's no Christ. Because God begins to affect a change. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is deposited into us, living in us, brings about a conviction. And believe me, I'm not saying that I am without sin, but now there's a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. That's how it's worded in Matthew. And this Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And there's no hungering and no thirsting after righteousness. Can you imagine if this morning right here I'm holding a baby, and you know how babies are, 6-month-old, and it's crying and it's eating and it's drinking and it's gobbling down all the formula and all these things, and it's messing its diapers and all those things that babies do. And praise the Lord, but imagine if I had a baby up here and we watched it for about a week or two, and you said, you know, that baby hadn't cried ever. That baby hadn't made a noise. That baby hadn't had a thing to eat. That baby's not even had anything to drink. He doesn't move. He doesn't make a noise. He doesn't mess his diapers. Been over a week. And every one of you is looking like, man, that ain't right. There's something wrong there. In the same way that a physical birth of a baby brings these things that we can see, that it exhibits life, spiritually speaking, it's like having a new believer up here and say, I've never seen you hunger and thirst after righteousness. You seem so interested in the things of the world, and your pattern of life is just like the world. I don't see your pattern of life becoming more like Jesus. There's no hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And then it causes us to rightly examine and question, was there ever a change? Because everyone who has this hope begins to live like Christ and love like Christ and purifies himself. So whoever commits sin, verse 4, also commits lawlessness. They break the law. Now we're all guilty of that, but the idea here is continually now committing sin and standing in rebellion continuously against God, as if to say, my will, not thy will, my will be done. I'm living for myself in no regard to living for you and for the kingdom of God. But you know that Jesus was manifest to take away our sins. He was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So Jesus steps into the world, it's speaking about the first coming, and when he dies, he dismantles, he disarms, he destroys. The idea here is not to annihilate, but to completely render useless. So now sin no longer has us in bondage. You are no longer a slave to sin, because Christ has crushed the power of sin that would dominate your life. We were slaves to sin. Christ crushed that on the cross. And so now you and I, as the children of God, have the ability in Christ to break the chains, not be in bondage to sin, and to live and to walk in the light, even as He is in the light. For in Him there is no sin. Now, verse 6, this is going to get tricky. You read this in the English and you're going, wait a second. This sounds like it's contradicting what we just talked about in chapter 1. Well, sermons could be preached in Greek tenses, I tell you that. It says, whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins doesn't know Him. Wait a second, I sinned. What does that mean? All right, well, when you read it in the present tense, as it's in the Greek present tense here, it's continual action. I want you to picture the Mississippi River. You can see as it goes, it's moving. It's continual action. It used to move, it is moving, it's just moving, right? And so that's that present tense. And so that's going to pick up this pattern that He's already established and carry us on for quite a few more verses here. Whoever continually abides is walking with Christ, walking in that relationship. Whoever continually abides in Christ isn't going to continually sin. And whoever continually sins, that person that's just living in the world, living in the pig pen, and never coming out of it, believers, believe me, they stumble and they fall. And they get in the pig pen just as good as anybody else, but they're not going to stay there if they're a believer. So whoever continually sins and is indifferent to the things of God, he has neither seen Him and he doesn't know God. He can claim he's a child of God all he wants. He's not. He's just in the world claiming a title for whatever convenience that is. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you, and don't misunderstand. He who practices, this is picking up this idea of continual action, he who practices, or the continuous action of righteousness, that person who's walking in the light is righteous in the same way that Christ is righteous. You remember that if we've been saved, He imparts or imputes His righteousness to us. If you've been saved, the moment you put your faith in Christ, He imputes or credits all of His righteousness to you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? He gets all of our sin on the cross, and we get all of His righteousness. And now we're to walk in that righteousness. And whoever continually practices righteousness as a pattern of a habitual lifestyle, that person is righteous. That's how you know, just as the Lord is righteous. But he, on the other hand, who sins, that is, continually sins as a lifestyle, without regard to the kingdom of God or the will of God, he who continually sins is of the devil. There we have the children of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And you remember perhaps in John chapter 8 when Jesus was having an encounter with the religious leaders and they were trying to trap Him, they were trying to trick Him, they were accusing Him. And Jesus was saying, I am of my Father, and so I speak these truths. But you are of your father, the devil. And he's been lying and sinning from the beginning. Can you imagine the religious leaders in that crowd of people when Jesus says that? But you are of your father, the devil. I promise you, that is no way to win friends and influence people. Here he is calling them out. You are of your father. Those religious leaders were the children of the devil. And he called them out. You are of your father, the devil, and he has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise the Lord. He might destroy the works of the devil. We've seen two reasons listed here why Jesus came. He was manifest to take away our sins and in him there is no sins. And he also came that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, verse 9, so whoever has been born of God, that is not physical birth, but spiritual birth. You know, Nicodemus must have heard some of this teaching, and he was confused and seeking answers. So he came to Jesus at night. Do you remember the story? Nick at night, right? Well, Nicodemus goes to meet Jesus, slips out and catches him under nightfall, and he starts talking, and Jesus just cuts him off, and he says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, who is a very intelligent religious leader, he says, what do you mean? Is a man supposed to climb back up into his mother's womb and be born a second time? He didn't understand. And Jesus acknowledged, yes, you've been born once physically, but a person must be born again spiritually. That spiritual regeneration, when we put our faith in Christ and the Spirit is now deposited into us. And whoever has been born of God does not continually sin as a habit of lifestyle, but that power is broken and now they're walking in the light. He does not continually sin, for God's seed, that is the Holy Spirit that brought about the spiritual regeneration, his seed remains in him, and he cannot continue to sin. Because, why? Because he's been born of God. He's a new creation. The old things have passed away, and all things become new. So you remember the story of the prodigal son, right? Okay. Well, the prodigal son was always a son of the father. He was always a son of his father, but yet he thought, you know what, I've got a way here. I'll just go and do my own thing. I'll do it my way, not the father's way. He got himself into a mess. He squandered his inheritance, but he did not squander his sonship. And I've seen believers that have gotten tangled up in sin. They've done a good job of squandering their rewards and their inheritance, but if you're truly born again, if you're truly saved, you can't lose that salvation. You can't squander your sonship or your daughtership. And so here he is, he's laying in there with the pigs. And I'll tell you this, if he was never saved, he'd have just stayed right there with the pigs, because that's his nature. But the fact of the matter is, he was a son. And eventually comes to the conclusion, as it says in our text, he cannot continue. And so he looks around, he says, what am I doing here, all messed up in sin, all muddy, and I'm hanging out with the pigs? And he gets up and he cleans himself off and he says, no, I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to go back where I belong, to the Father. And he returns. And what does the Father do when there's repentance? He comes back. And the father runs out in the field and receives him. I want to tell you that God loves you. If you're a believer caught up in sin, he loves you. You can't stay there. Notice what the text says. For his seed remains in you, and that person cannot continually sin because he's been born of God. That ever happened to you? Yep. You ever almost get tangled up in sin or get a little tangled up in sin after you've been saved? Yeah, Holy Spirit working on you. Yeah, can a believer sin? Yeah, he sure can. He can get tangled up in it pretty good. Can he be happy doing it? Nope, that Holy Spirit's there convicting. And if he stays there, the discipline of God starts coming in. And all that discipline, all that conviction, he can't stay there. He cannot continue in sin because he has been born of God, or should I say, if he's been born of God. I want to tell you, though, there are so many people today that say, hey, I'm a child of God, and they stay in that pig pen all the time, and they are so indifferent to the things of God. I want to tell you, if there's no change and you are indifferent to the things of God, you are not a child of God. And I don't say that because I'm mad at you. I say it because I love you. And the Bible says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. You can look at yourself in the mirror and you say, you know what? Yeah, I know I go to church once in a while, but I don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. I care more about my life than living for the Lord. It's about my way, not God's way. And that's the continual pattern of my life. There's never been a change, and I am indifferent to the things of God. Yet I love the world and all the things in the world, and I'm chasing after them as a continual, habitual lifestyle. Then you've never been born of God. And I say that because I love you, and maybe God would use that to shake you into reality, that you're going to stand before Him one day, and I do not want you to hear Him say, I never knew you. Satan is a good deceiver. He's got so many people who are saying, I'm a child of God, believing that because, man, I got baptized. I go to church once in a while. I'm really not that bad a person. I'm better than, you know, some of these other guys I'm reading about. In fact, I'm better than some of those people that go to Richland Creek. I'm sure you're better than me. But you've never been born again. And so if you're here today and God's speaking to you about that and you've not had that change and you aren't, if you're indifferent to the things of God, you need to come and you need to be saved. And now notice the distinction here in verse 10. The children of God and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are made known and manifest. Whoever continually does not practice righteousness, does not live for the Lord, does not look like the Lord, continually growing in their walk with the Lord, whoever does not continually practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And you go around tearing people down and slandering and throwing them under the bus, and that's just your pattern of life. You see what he's talking about here? Now let me ask you a history question. Many of you guys have been in school for a while, you know, you've studied the wars and the history of wars. What single man slew one quarter of the world's population? One single man slew one quarter of the world's population. Do you know? Well, you know, it's right there in verse 12. Cain. You remember Cain? Yes. He killed his brother. There was four people living on the earth at the time. And Cain winds up being this example of the children of the devil and Abel, the children of God. And Cain, who was of the devil, the wicked one, he murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil continually, and his brothers were continually righteous. Again, pattern. So do not marvel, my brothers. Do not be surprised if the world hates you, because its pattern is to do things under its father, the devil. That's the way this world system rolls. But you have a citizenship that is in heaven, and you are of your father, the Lord. And you are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And darkness does not like light. And so do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. Jesus said, remember, it hated me first. And we know, and here's another test. And we know that we, as the children of God, have passed from death, only one birth, we're born physically, and we've passed from death unto life, spiritual life. We've been born spiritually. We've come to life spiritually. We know that we've come to life spiritually, having passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren continually. And he who does not love his brother continually, then he continues to abide in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And now read this carefully, this last statement, then we close. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Don't forget the context, where we've been with this present tense. Because let's think about who the murderers are. Can you name one? You're exactly right. Me. You remember when Jesus took the law and he spiritualized that and he took it to a higher standard? They were saying, I haven't committed adultery. You looked at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. And they all said, we're guilty. If you've ever been angry at a brother without a cause, you've committed murder in your heart. You see, the first reaction is to say, well, Moses was a murderer. And what about David? He was a murderer. Moses and David, all of us. But go back to what we've already been talking about. You know that no one who continues in that pattern, whether it's being angry at a brother, hating your brother, committing that murder, you know that no murderer who continually does that, no one who continually sins habitually, has eternal life abiding in him. And this is how we know that we've passed from death to life. Are you running with the world, indifferent to the things of God? There's never been a change. There's no hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Then there is no eternal life abiding in you. But if there's been that change, not a sinless perfection, but now a change in a sinless direction, and you are continually as a pattern seeking to walk with God, maybe a lot of stumbling along the way, but that is evidence. Oh, that baby's crying, and that there's new life. We see that baby crying and taking down the milk and eating the food and messing the diaper and all those things, and we rejoice. That baby's alive. They're not doing it just right just yet. And in the same way, there's spiritual life, and you can see it in that new creation. So test yourself to see whether or not you are in the faith and whether or not you have eternal life abiding in you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for a word that has great weightiness and great importance. Father, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Satan has deceived many, many people who say that they are the children of God. They claim to be Christians, but there's never been that change. And the pattern of life shows it to be so. Father, I pray that you would speak to each person individually today. If there's anybody who's lost, that you would convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, that you might have their way. And if there's anybody who's lost today, who's never placed their faith in Christ, never been saved, doesn't know for sure if they died today that they would spend eternity with God, would you convince them, oh God, in your grace in this moment, that they could be saved? For you are a God who forgives, a God of hope, a God of truth that would receive sinners. And I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, that today they would trust Christ and be saved. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that struggling with sin, and maybe they've trusted you, but they've gotten into the pig pen. And Lord, I pray that they would realize that there is help, people who would pray for and come alongside. God, you are a God who is able to deliver, able to pull us out of that pig pen. And I pray that people would respond in that regard. Father, have your way during this time of invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.